Hi, my name is Dr. Patricia Murugami. Welcome to your next best self. I know you might be wondering, who's this Dr. Patricia Murugami? Well, I'm a leadership catalyst, a leadership coach, an educator on matters to do with life, leadership, love, and legacy. And I hope that as you start to listen in and practice some of the leadership insights we'll be sharing here, you'll begin to see your next best self. Welcome back to your Next Best Self podcast with me, Dr. Patricia Murugami. Today, I feel called upon to do and dedicate this session to mentoring those who are in their 30s and their 20s, because I have seen a lot of things I can learn from them, but I also realize that there are some gaps that they are going through that perhaps today's podcast can help them clarify how to move forward. First and foremost, I want to talk a little bit about an experience I had recently as we are beginning to build our team further and recruit interns. And it's been incredible seeing the kind of CVs we've received. I mean, I have received CVs of people who want to be interns, who have master's level. It says a lot about their courage, their humility, their learning agility, and their ability to actually put their best foot forward no matter what role comes. I'm also fascinated when I look at the way CVs are now being structured. I mean, now I know the pain a recruiter will go through when they're going through a CV that doesn't seem to have a lot of clarity. I was impressed to see CVs of potential interns which are one page. In that one page, they're very clear about what it is that they want to do. They're very clear about their strengths. They're also very clear about what they have achieved, the degrees they've done, and what it is they're doing. Another thing that I noticed in these CVs was the fact that some CVs had a section on volunteerism, you know, voluntary work that each one has done. And I'm inclined to look more at those ones because it shows that these people are not willing to sit back on their laurels and just wait for a job to land from somewhere. They're actually volunteering their time and energy for a higher cause, for a higher purpose. And those ones actually demonstrate that they have the proactivity and the initiative to make lemonade out of lemons. And so in case you're one of those people who are in a space where you're not sure what your next job will look like, I want to encourage you, spruce up your CV, try and do a one pager. Secondly, use your time and your skills, volunteer, whether it's a church, virtually in a way that you can in the space that you are in so that your skills continue to serve others. After all, we work to serve, we lead to serve. Now, that's a positive side because having seen all those CVs and going through them, and I want to respond to each and every one of them and give them some feedback because I'm aware that a lot of employers never respond to the email, never give some feedback, never give, you know, some direction on how someone can move forward, that I won't be one of those people. And so I want to encourage employers or recruiters to find a way, even if it's automated, to respond to applications so that someone knows the application actually got there. I know that I may not have responded as quickly as I should have, but I'm aware that I needed to spend a bit of time rethinking what this internship role will look like and ensuring that I go through each of the CVs we got after they were the shortlist that came through from my team and actually have a chance to respond in a way that is meaningful, whether they get the internship or not. And so as recruiters, let's take the time to actually honor people when they send us those CVs and find whether it's an automated way or another way to give some feedback. And those who are interviewed, let's always have the humaneness to give feedback to those who don't make it so they know what it is they need to strengthen as they move forward. I have seen many organizations where internal interviews are done. You go in, you prepare very well. No one tells you anything about your performance. The next thing you see, they fill the role with an external candidate. And you see, that's making the space for the external candidate very difficult as they settle into a role where some of the potential team members had also interviewed for the same role and have no idea what it is that they didn't do right so as to get the role. I think we owe each other that modicum of professional courtesy to share one or two insights on what it is they could do differently or improve on in their next opportunity to interview for another role. Now, another thing, another trend that I have seen with my young friends and reverse mentors is the inability to persist, the inability to have a high tolerance for growth. And, you know, as I'm listening to those birds that you can hear in the background, they are very consistent. Every time, every end of day at this time, they constantly move from one part of where they were in the day to another location. And they do so with the same sound. And there's something to be learned by those birds that were, you know, hopping in the background. I'm finding that I'm not sure whether it's because these younger ones are in the instant generation where even when you're watching a show, which may be a series, you can skip intro, you can move within the next 2 seconds. We've seen TikTok with 15-second videos. And I think one of the struggles that comes out of all these developments is the inability to tolerate and be patient when things are not working as you thought they should. I have seen a lot of young people throw their hands up in there and say, I don't need that job. I don't need that husband. I don't need that wife. Those children, you know, kind of just giving up. But ladies and gentlemen, especially those who are young and more youthful, just as you can hear that bird in the background, I want to encourage you to grow your consistency muscle. A couple of muscles you need to grow. One, your consistency muscle, the ability to be consistent in the little things that no one sees you doing. Write that letter with the right language. Avoid any typographical errors. Make sure you sign off your work with a signature of excellence. But that comes with being consistent in little things and big things. In terms of consistency, do not assume that your boss, your customers, or your colleagues understand what it is you're doing. Go out of your way to communicate. And that brings me to the second muscle, your communication muscle. One of the things I've realized, because perhaps there's so many ways of communicating, so many tools of communication, is a lot of young people somehow have lost the art of conversation. I think it's tragic. The art of conversation, to call someone and say, I'm struggling with this. I think we need to find a better way of working together. I need us to consider a new product. This is what I've seen from the customers. These are my observations of how we do things. This is one of the ways I would like to contribute. Our ability to have genuine, authentic, value-adding conversations has been one of the greatest tragedies of this younger generations. I think there's a lot of, my husband always jokes and says, I think the thumbs of our younger generation are going to be so big because they're overused in terms of typing on their phones. But unfortunately, this new way of adoration of our phones, you know, we have this posture of adoration, but you're not adoring God. We're adoring our phones because our faces are always looking down on the screen. And as a result of that, our ability to have conversations, the ability to string a host of sentences together and to talk about meaningful things, areas of growth, areas of challenge, happy things, sad things, whatever the plethora entails. And so the inability to do so has made a lot of young talent lose wonderful opportunities. I think when you combine the inability to be consistent, the inability to communicate, in a way that is conversational and is constant, then we lose what is called the courage muscle. Yeah, the third muscle. And this courageous muscle has everything to do with our ability to rise up. You know, in my first book, Rise, I talk about raise your hand. Raise your hand is the third level of the manifesto. Raise your hand to contribute, to question, to challenge with respect, to actually collaborate, to volunteer. Raise your hand to say, I'm ready for the next thing. I'm ready for us to relook at how we do things. I'm ready to improve this process. You see, I find it very sad that talking to some HR leaders the other day, and we're talking about how can we elevate the way the younger people are actually coming into workspaces and getting into corporate life. And I think one of the areas that I've seen which has been very, very annoying is this whole idea of when someone is done with a job, they just resign by sending an email. I've seen a very bad case where a person resigned by sending a text. I mean, that just shows a lot of lack of even respect for yourself and the inability to know that you're burning a bridge. I know that sometimes some of these people may not know that there are better ways of doing things, but I have found that your ability to be consistent, do your work well, that anytime someone sees that work, they know it comes from you. To be a communicator, to communicate, even when you're in a crisis. Say, I'm not able to meet the deadline because I have a bit of a family crisis. I have an issue. Please give me a bit more time. I'll call you back. And I've seen that both with, professionals who are contracted, professionals who are employed. They just go quiet and they don't communicate. And the courage muscle to actually say, this is not working so well. Could we consider doing this way? I am ready for my next challenge. Is there an opportunity to grow here? If there isn't, how else can I grow? I'm ready to move on to another role, to another organization, to do something else. I want to thank you. I want to have a conversation, an exit conversation, what worked, what didn't work, how you can continue to build this space better. And you can count on me right now. My season is over, but I always look forward to serving you in a different space, in a different way. You see, the only thing I know my mom and dad have always taught us, the only things that don't meet are mountains. People we meet. If we disrespect each other now, you never know. Just round the bend, you and I will meet again in different circumstances. I want to end with a story. It sounds like a funny story, and you know, it sounds as if these birds are really out to emphasize my three C's on consistency, communication, and courage. So one day I was talking to a young reverse mentor of mine, and he was telling me, Patricia, I wish I knew all these things you tell us now, because in my first two jobs, I resigned with an email. I handed over so badly. I was so disrespectful just because I was tired and I was going through some issues at home. And I just felt this job, let me just leave it and get out of here. And my boss was so gracious, and my boss tried to have a conversation with me. I didn't really feel like having a conversation with her. And on top of that, I was like, can you just pay me or can I just leave? I had a really bad attitude, so this young man told me. And so Alan continued to tell me this story. And he told me, you know, I left there and I was like, let them sort themselves. After all, I was it was such a privilege having me in the team. That was my attitude. That's what Alan was telling me. And, you know, I really thank him for being honest. And then he said, anyway, I went on. I took time off. At least I had the chance to stay at home. My parents could take care of me. You know, but I was, 33? And my parents were like, you've left a job like that. You're going to work in this home. So they fired the gardener. And they ensured many of the tasks in the house became my tasks. So I earned my keep. But fast forward about 3 years later, in the process, I matured. I realized the folly of my actions and how silly I was. And I met this great girl. And I thought, you know what? It's time. It's time for me to marry. And so we planned for the first visit. And when we planned for the first visit, it went smoothly. It was just a small group. And then the main negotiation visit happened. And lo and behold, when we arrived at the home of my fiancé, that I saw my last boss, who I had treated with such contempt. And she was in the inner committee of those who are part of the negotiations. You know, I've always known that boss had a lot of grace. But the look she gave me that day, I would have withered in shame and guilt for the folly of my youth and for having resigned with such contempt on an email. And you know, as soon as people were served, I went up to her and I told her, how have you been? And she said, I've been very well, Alan. And I told her, I just want to say, I didn't realize how foolish I was, how disrespectful I was, and how unprofessional I was to have resigned in the way I did and to have treated you with such contempt. And I know you might be thinking I'm doing this because we're about to negotiate the dowry and the plans for my wedding to your niece. I had no idea that was your niece. And my boss just said, you know, you are foolish and I'm glad you've learned your lessons, but I want you to remember that only mountains don't meet. This world is too small to treat people disrespectfully, to choose not to be consistent, to choose not to be courageous when you need to communicate something. I'm glad you've learned your lesson. Don't worry, I don't hold it against you. It's a folly of your youth, but I hope that you will move forward with a lot of wisdom. You know, when Alan told me that story more recently and told me how the negotiations went well and how he honors his wife even more because of her auntie and the way her auntie, who was his former boss, treated him, then it got us to think. And he said, you know, Patricia, I hope you can share my story, because I think too many young people in their 20s and 30s are in a hurry to go I don't know where. They're in a hurry not to stretch themselves when things are tough. They're in a hurry not to look for help when they need it. They're in a hurry to dispense off with tasks that they feel are beneath them, or, I'm done with this space, without realizing that life is a series of a lot of ordinary tasks done in an extraordinary way. That's what makes life, leadership, love, and legacy really worthwhile. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you who are listening to this podcast will share with this with all the young people in your circles. And just like the birds that you can hear in the background, who are ready to echo my message today, that each and every one of us will learn how to be more consistent, to communicate and to converse, as well as to have the courage to actually face and talk about the things we want to do with a spirit of respect and with a spirit of wisdom, knowing that what goes round always comes around. May you become your next best self. Thank you.